you have the Bible, would like to turn with me to Ephesians chapter 2. The book of Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. You know, last week we started looking at the book of Ephesians and talked a little bit about the introduction. And I don't know, probably could have still been in chapter 1 today, but I wanted to go into chapter 2. Actually, I do want to begin reading in verse 20 of chapter 1, and then we'll read probably down to verse 10 of chapter 2. Because the book of Galatians, Paul wrote to them to straighten out some things about grace versus law. That we're under grace. And some of the things that he told the church at Galatia was, who hath bewitched you that you would have begun in the faith, but now you're made perfect by keeping the law? Folks, let me tell you, here in chapter 2, Paul of Ephesians, Paul puts in direct proportion or position where works belong in a believer's life. Because works are important in the believer's life. Don't ever think that God's Word is irrelevant to us today, or the things that God tells us in His Word, how it should make a difference in our life, because it does. But the reason that it does is different than what a lot of folks today think. You have to do this or that to be accepted by God. We cannot do anything to be accepted by God except trust Him. Anything else is us trying to be to get into heaven by our own works, and your works is not good enough to get you in heaven. I'm sorry if that hurts your feelings, but that's the truth. Your works are not good enough to make you acceptable to God. But praise be unto God, His work is good enough, acceptable enough to make us right with God. Now, I just wanted to start reading in verse 20, down to verse 10 of chapter 2. 20 of chapter 1, verse 20. Which He wrought in Christ, when He raised Him from the dead, and set Him at His own right hand in heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under His feet, and gave Him to be the head over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him that filleth all in all. Verse 1 of chapter 2, and you. Hath He quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin, wherein in times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lust of the flesh, of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Now, just look up here for just a second. That was our description. That's what we as children of God were in the past. Let me tell you something. One thing that I see here in the book of Ephesians is that God is wanting to make sure that we don't get too big for our own britches. I don't know no other way to put it other than plain this morning. Folks, let me tell you something. That the only reason that you can testify that Jesus Christ is God in heaven and that you're a child of God is because of what He done. Because you and I were all exactly the same as they are now. We better not ever forget that. Folks, let me tell you something. The church is here not to tell folks how to live, how to walk, how to dress, how to do all this kind of stuff. That the Holy Spirit can do that. Our job is to tell them Jesus saves us from the sin of this world. And here, in chapter 2 more specifically, in chapter 1, the verses that we read, the emphasis was on what? It was on Christ. How He was made the preeminent. How He was the reason that we are able to be called the son and daughter of God. Look at what it said. Now, I may not get no further than this in my reading, but I want to make sure we have this understanding of where we were and why we are here. We come together not to worship ourselves, but to worship God, or Christ that died for our sins. Now look what it said in chapter 1 and verse 20. In verse 20 it says, which He wrought in Christ. What does that mean? What that word wrought means that He worked. That He put it together. That He brought it to pass. That He put it, that He formed it up. Let's not forget that He's talking about the church. He's talking about the things of the church. He's talking about this Christian life that you and I love so dear that we hold to. And He said that, back here. And He says, which He wrought in Christ. You know, the Bible says before the foundation of the world was even laid, God in eternity past was putting together the plan of salvation. Before He said in Genesis 1:1, let there be light, the Godhead was already debating and already putting together the plan of salvation. It got in the mind of God. God had already, in the mind of God, He had already saw that man was going to be formed. And that man was going to disobey Him. And that man was going to need a Savior. And the Son of God said, I'll do it. I don't know if that's the exact word, but that's what it amounted to. Because before the foundation of the world was put in place, God was already there. And it says in chapter 1 that He wrought it in Christ. He worked it out in Christ. Folks, let me tell you something. You better understand something today. It's all because of Jesus that you and I are able to even claim that we know God. That we can even walk in the newness of life is because of what Jesus done. That was fulfilled on the cross. I don't want to ever leave the blood out. I don't ever want to forsake the blood because it was the blood that covered my sin. Now let me take that back. It didn't cover my sin. The blood of the Old Testament, all the goats and the cows and the heifers and all that, that blood covered the sins of the people. But when Jesus died on the cross, His blood washed away our sin. My sin's not covered. My sin's forgiven. My sin's not blotted out. My sin's washed away. And it's not because of something that I did. He brought it in the cross. God fixed it up. All I had to do was accept it up. Amen. All I had to do was just reach out. You know, we talked about it this morning in Sunday school a little bit, and we talked about the difference between an offer and a gift. Folks, let me tell you, I want you to understand something. That Jesus died for the sin of the whole world. Every single sinner in the whole world, his sin has been paid for on the cross. But not every sinner is forgiven. It's not automatic. You see, We need extended it out as an offering until you take it. When you take it, it comes to you. You got to accept it. God has offered salvation to every man. Will you take it? He's offered to give, but will you take it? It was brought in Christ. When He raised Him from the dead, we have victory in Jesus. He has defeated death, hell, and the grave. He's given us the victory. Let me tell you something, folks. The saddest day in your life is when you're, for most of us, when we're standing at the graveside of some dearly departed. But that grave is not the end. That's just the Lord. At best, I don't know what else to call. I don't know what else to say about it. But let me tell you something. Raised Him from the dead and set Him at His own right hand in heavenly places, far above principality and power and might, dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. And hath put all things under His feet and gave him to be the head of all things to the church, which is His body. The fullness of Him that fills all. Now go to chapter 2, verse 1. But you. In you. Hath He quickened. The word quickened there means to be made alive. You know something? Before you got saved, you were spiritually dead. You were spiritually without life. You were spiritually dead. There's a term, at least I'm told, there's a term of death row when they're leading that condemned man down to the execution chamber. Dead man walking. That's what they holler out. At least that's what I'm told. That's what they talk about. Before you got saved, before you even cried, physically you were alive, but spiritually you were dead. That's why the Bible calls it being born again. That's something that Nicodemus did not understand. In chapter 3 of John, that's something that Nicodemus could not wrap his mind around. Whenever Jesus said, ye must be born again, Nicodemus said, how can these things be so? And look, the flesh is alive. The spiritual. When Adam sinned, going all the way back to the garden, tell you what happened. I won't spend a lot of time on this. Satan said, certainly you will not die. God said, in the day you eat of this tree. You think about what Adam and Eve, where Adam and Eve was, and what was going on with Adam and Eve. They were perfectly made. When God made Adam and Eve, He made them without disease, without sin. Brother Donnie, without pain. Amen. Y'all pray for Brother Donnie. He's been having a lot of pain lately, and I'm sure he, most of us know about it, but let's pray for him. Without the need for glasses, these things are irritating the fire out of you today. He made them perfect as far as human beings can be. He put them in a perfect place. In the garden, Adam could grow tomatoes and didn't even have to worry about tomato worms. He didn't have to worry about none of that stuff. He didn't have to worry about bugs of any kind. He didn't have to worry about weeds coming up. Everything was perfect, man. God said, now Adam, I'm paraphrasing this. He said, this is all yours. Do what you want to with it. You know, the Bible says that God has given dominion over this, the world, to man. He says, out of the whole garden, you can eat, you can do whatever you want to, except for that tree right there. You can eat. He does. Say, and Adam, the day that you eat of that tree, you're going to die. Period. They eat of them, Satan says, come and get up next to Eve. Now Eve, you know that you can eat of that tree and nothing's going to happen. You're not going to die. You know that the day you eat of that tree, you know what's going to happen, Eve? You're going to be made like God. You're going to become wise like God. Man has always wanted to be like God. Man has always wanted to usurp that authority and be made a little higher than man. He never worked. He ain't going to work. Amen? It ain't going to work. So he took the tree. I don't know what it was, what kind of fruit it was. Most people say apples, but that probably wasn't it. I even heard one group claim that it was a banana. I don't know it. Let me tell you something about that tree. There was fruit on that tree. Eve saw, first of all, that it was good to the eye. She saw that it was one to be desired. She took that bit into it. You know what happened in fact, Eve bit into that fruit? Spiritually, she was separated from that. She doubted. She reached over there and handed it to Adam. Said, Adam, you take this. It's good. He bit into it. After the second he done that, he died. The spirit. He was separated from God. You know what happened next? They were ashamed of themselves. Can I tell you something that's going to shock you a little bit? Because we've been painted a bogus picture by Satan that sin somehow is pleasurable. Somehow it's good. Somehow you're missing out if you're not doing like everybody else is doing. Can I tell you something right now? That the fellowship that Adam and Eve experienced with God was shattered. It was taken away. The Bible says something that is very amazing to me. That in the cool of the day, God Himself, and I believe that it was the pre-incarnate of Christ, every time that God deals with man, it's always through the man, Jesus Christ. And He was looking for him. He was calling out. Adam! Adam! Adam said, here I am. I heard you calling, and I was naked, and I was afraid. I want you to listen to me this morning. You go around playing with sin, it's going to make you naked and afraid. It may seem pleasurable right now. It may seem okay right now. And you may be into something that you think you've gotten away with. But I want you to know God wasn't looking for him because he didn't know where Adam was. He knew he was at the third tree from the left. He knew he was wrapped himself in fig leaves. He knew exactly where Adam was. But you know what he was doing? He was showing Adam where Adam was. He said, "Hey, Adam, here I am. I heard you call. I was naked. I was afraid. And I hid myself." You know what God said? "Adam, who said you were naked?" And then up until this point, they had been naked in the garden. There's no sin. They were unafraid. I don't think there was any fear in the garden before that happened. Got another rest of that story. I'm not going to get too much more into that. God himself took a couple of animals. I believe they were sheep. That was a sacrificial type in the Bible, but I believe all it says, he took some skins of some animals and he clothed Adam. I tell you something today, 2,000 years ago, I was naked and afraid. And Jesus Christ went to the cross of Calvary and he paid my sin debt and clothed me in his very own precious and made me a child of God. Verse 1 says this, "And you hath he quickened, made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins." You were just as dead as the most vile sinner you can think of right now. You were in need of a Savior. As the worst sinner in all of human history. And Jesus cared enough who was dead in trespass and sin. He quickened. He made alive. Wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world and to the course of this world. Wait, let me read that again. Verse 2. Wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. You know one of the reasons I believe he puts this in here? It's because it's so easy to forget where we used to be. It's easy to forget. It's easy to look at somebody and say, you know that old dirty, rotten sinner that's doing things he don't have no business or she don't have no business doing, but you used to do the same thing. Amen. How easy it is to forgive. Among whom also we all had our conversation in time past. In the lust of the flesh, of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Verse 4 came in. Verse 4 changed your life. If you're in here this morning and you know Jesus is your Savior, verse 4 changed everything about you. In verse 1, verse 2, verse 3, describes distinctly how we were. And then in verse 4, it says, "But God." But God. Who is rich in mercy for his great love, wherewith he loved us. Can I tell you something right now? That verse changes everything. In the garden, we were talking about it, but let me go back there. It was because of the love that God had for Adam and for Eve. You know the stupidest thing I think I've ever heard of in my entire life? I probably would not say this, but that's all right. Back when that was going on with Adam and Eve, I heard somebody actually say this one time.
preach this.
That the reason that Adam took that fruit was because he loved the woman so much. Have you ever heard something so silly? You know why I think that's silly? Because the rest of that conversation that God had with Adam and Eve, he said, who told you that thou wast naked? Did you eat of that fruit of that tree I told you not to? And Adam so loved his wife, he said, yeah, Lord, that's what I did. I just went, no, that's not what he did. You know what Adam did? He said, Lord, the woman you gave me made me do it. Isn't that what happened? And the woman, she said the same thing. She said, well, Lord, it wasn't my fault. The serpent beguiled me and tricked me into doing it. God pronounced judgment. Can I tell you something? God was there in the garden because he loved me. He was there on the cross going through all he did because he loved me. He shed his blood. He allowed himself to be sacrificed because he loved you. Because of what you were. But God, in verse 4. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sin, has quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved. Let me tell you something, folks. I'm going to close with this morning. Because let me tell you, Christ paid the entire price. And to make us sit in heavenly places with him. It was all for or because of him. And folks, here's the kicker of it. You didn't have to get good enough to come to Christ. Christ was good enough to bring you to him. While we were still yet without life. Before we were even contemplating the idea of coming to Christ to have our sins forgiven, Christ was working on our behalf. He was doing what was necessary. He was making the way. He was showing the way. Folks, let me tell you. When we talk about, and we're going to talk about more about this next time, but I want you to know something. The only reason we're here is because of Jesus. I don't know who you are. I don't know what you are. I don't know what, you know, where do you, your relationship with Jesus Christ. But I know what Jesus said. And he said, whosoever shall call upon me shall be saved. Brother Willie, you don't know what I've done. You don't know what I've got in my past. Nope. And I got news for you. God does already and he still loves you. Will you come to him today? If you never accepted Christ as your Savior, today is the day of salvation. Don't harden me. He's reaching out to you today. Brother Willie, I don't know. I may have gone too far. Let me tell you something. Christ went all the way. And he said that he'll never turn you away. Let's have a song of invitation. Christ is your Savior. Brother Willie, I've been going